when you're thinking about you got want something to get done, what are the things that need to come together to make it happen? Usually in the business sense, it's process, people, and tools. And I actually recommend the first thing, not even recommend, the first thing you start with is process. That's the basis of everything. Everybody wants automation. They want the fancy this, fancy that. But it's like, no, you first had to figure out how, what's the basic nuts and bolts of the process? Because that's essentially what you want to optimize first before you even add in a tool, before you add more people.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Currently Bossing Podcast, powered by the Boss Up Inc. On this podcast, we discuss all things relating to career, social media, influencer marketing, and what it really takes for you to create your mark in today's digital landscape. I'm your host, Brittany Nicole, founder and CEO of The Boss Up Inc. Miranda, welcome to the show. I'm super excited to have you because as a founder and business owner myself, implementing systems and getting organized, especially as we're about to end the year, is important. So I know you're going to drop some gems for our listeners. So welcome.
Awesome. Thanks so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. So I always love to set the scene for our listeners a little bit. So tell us about you and what you do, your career story, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm Miranda, and I'm a business systems and productivity consultant, specifically for creators turned founders. And I got into that space, that particularly niche space, I guess in an interesting way. So my background is I'm an environmentalist by trade. So studied sustainability in school, and that's also where my, I guess, my basis in systems thinking is from. I often say when it comes to my degree, it wasn't really like a subject matter expertise degree, but it was more so it taught me how to think about the world and how to solve problems. And the basis of that is through a systems thinking lens. So fast forward when I graduated college, which shout out to Ohio State, I'm a Buckeye. But after college, I then interned at Corona, helping them with their corporate social responsibility. But I was like, hey, I don't want to stay here because they aren't really trying to save the world. And that was my tilt. I'm like, hey, how are we making impact? And so after that, I joined a startup, an environmental startup, where pretty much we did everything. Essentially, we would collect pollution and destroy it. And in that process of even collecting the pollution, you have to purchase it and then go out and get it and travel to places. So I've been to 41 states. It was a great time. Then I had to come back and like we worked in a warehouse, but also being able to be in the boardroom, helping with marketing things and sales things. So that's where I got my first taste of like, oh, wow, I have the capacity to do a lot of things. And I'm a bit of an autodidact where I'm like, hey, let me go learn this thing. They would mention an issue and I'm like, okay, let's figure this thing out. So it was cool being able to contribute in that way. And after that, I ended up getting just burnt out because I'm like, yo, the culture there was just not it. And I was young and I'm like, hey, this is it. I'm not trying to live my life where I'm just sit at a desk forever. And granted, I wasn't sitting at a desk at that job, but I didn't envision for myself being unhappy for a long period of time. And so I quit that. And then in order for me to not hop into another job, I just went to Jamaica for 2 months in the mountains. So that's what I did. I quit my job and I was like, I know that if I did this for this company, I bet I can make some shit shake. Like, I bet I can make something happen. And excuse me, I'm not sure. Let me stop cursing, but I bet I can make something happen on my own. And so from that, I pretty much took my skills with like, I learned a lot of marketing there and just strategy and just scrappiness. And I was like, oh, let me become a strategist and take what I've done for this company and help other people. And in the midst of doing that, I'm also a DJ. So I was in conversation with a lot of artists. And because of my skill set, a lot of them would say like, hey, help me with this marketing thing. Or hey, eventually, can you manage me? So I then got into artist management. And from artist management, I, again, employed a lot of my strategy things, and I noticed that I really, really enjoy doing this, but I don't like the babysitting. So I was like, hey, why don't I just do management, just business management? And then I kind of got into the world of online business management. And from there, fell in love with systems and processes. So going from being on the marketing and brand strategy side of things to then being in organizations, being in and working with creators who are just now trying to monetize their audience, I found that a lot of people skew a lot on working on marketing, but the back end of their business was jacked up. And for me, my personality, I'm like, I do not want to look cute if everything else does not function well. Because it's like, you're only going to look cute for about a year. Like, I'm like, how do we think long term and get your business back in cute? And then that's pretty much has become my home. It's like, how do we work on the operations side of things, which is more tied to profit, and marketing is more for revenue, how to get the money in. But I'm like, hey, how do we keep the money? So ever since then, I've pretty much in this operation space been able to get back to my systems thinking roots, because it requires to really have an organization operate. There's many things that are happening. And so I really enjoy being able to just help people have longevity, but especially for creators, and not only just creators, but creators of color and Black creators, because we are the ones who are usually, we have a lot of talent, but how many times have we seen those sob stories, whether it's with musicians or artists, where it's like, hey, they had something great, but it was not sustained because something messed up with the money, or they couldn't keep doing this thing or that thing, or something just falls through after a while. So that's something that I really very passionate about, and I help tackle those issues, and I tackle that just with my individual studying, but also in my company, Mojo Supreme Co., which is an operations consulting firm for founders in need of flow. So I know that was a lot, but my journey has definitely been been one where you got to see through what does Steve Jobs say? You got to connect the dots. You can only connect the dots looking backwards. And so that's been my journey so far.
No, I love that. And first of all, I went to school at University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. So Big
Ten. Oh, cool. Hey.
Okay. That makes me so happy to hear. But also, besides so many things that stuck out to me from what you said, I just want to know more about how it was spending that 2 months in Jamaica. How did you go about that? Because I feel like I've seen a lot of creators, a lot of business owners take time for themselves and kind of like get away and reset and just figure out, okay, what do I want to do? What do I want? What my time on, what am I passionate about, what is my zone of genius? So what was that time like for you? And were you kind of like alone in that process?
Yeah, so that time for me, it was really a beautiful time because I had quit my job. And the reason I went was because I have workaholic tendencies. I'm not going to say I'm a workaholic. I have workaholic tendencies where I really just enjoy working. But when I got in that job and it got to a point where I did not enjoy working, it felt like I lost a part of myself, because a lot of my identity was with how productive am I. And so I just felt so lost. And I'm like, wait, this has kind of been the thing that's really brought me a lot of happiness. And if I can't get happiness here, then what is the world? So I really had a quarter life crisis. And I literally was 24, about to turn 25. So literal quarter life crisis. But I went there almost on like a Henry David Thoreau type vibe, where he says he went to the woods to find himself, to confront only the essential facts of life. And that was my vibe. I'm like, if I'm not this super work person that I thought, this trajectory that I was going on, then I need to stop all presses. Cause I was so certain that if I had done the thing where I quit my job and then find another one, I might have been starting the same pattern of workaholism with that new job. So I was like, I need to disrupt the pattern. Mm-hmm. And immediately after I left that job, 2 days later, I was in Jamaica. And it was designed, one, in hindsight, I'm like, hey, sis, you didn't really have to do all that. But because I know myself, I knew that I would have tried to talk myself into do the realistic thing, do this, this, and that. But because, again, I was a DJ and just getting into DJing, I was like, you know what? Maybe I can do something in the creative area. People have been asking me to be an artist manager. Let me see what that's about. But I specifically went so that I can really see who am I outside of what I do. Mm-hmm. And so even when I'm there, my first thing, my rule was the first month, I came with one suitcase of clothes and one suitcase just full of books, spiritual books, business books, strategy, psychology, leadership, those types of things. Because I knew essentially, I was like, I want to be a consultant. And actually, I should probably reverse before I even get to this point. Mm-hmm. To give more context, the reason why I completely quit my job and made the decision to do that is because at the end of 2017, I was super burnt out. And I was like, I need some healing. So I was like, I want to go on a retreat at the end of the year. And I found this retreat led by two Black women those two women forever have my heart. Just amazing. And I can probably give you information on them later. And actually, I might as well shout them out now. But Danielle and Carlene. But I went to that retreat. And at the retreat, having a great time, so many realizations, writing out what my vision for my new life would be. And I remember coming back from like the second day of the retreat, coming back home, telling my parents like, oh my gosh, it's awesome, awesome, awesome. And I'm on a high and I was like, oh, I gotta use the bathroom. I go to the bathroom. I'm feeling like lightheaded and I fainted. The next thing I knew, I hit my head on the tub and my parents were over me and they were like waking me up. And I was like, yo, what? It's literally the definition of the body keeps the score. Because yep. It wasn't like I was in any distress situation, but it was like, and me, I just dropped. And right from that moment when I like came to, I was like, I got to quit. I'm like, your body could just stop. That shit's crazy. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I'm quitting. And so from that moment in December, it's like I made the decision and I was like, yo, I got to be out by March. And at first I was going to do coding. So I did a coding boot camp. And then I was like, I can spend $15,000 doing a coding bootcamp, or I can spend $3,000 or $4,000 just being able to just chill out and detox and get back to a level space. So I say that just to give you the context as far as when I was even going to Jamaica for those 2 months. That first month, I said, you can't do any work. You can't strategize your way out of this. You got to sit. You got to sit down and sit and be in this, whatever this is. And so in that first month, it was just exploring. It was just, I didn't even let myself watch Netflix and stuff. No, nothing. I meditated. I went for walks. The place where I stayed, my girl Michelle, I love her. It was on a coffee farm. So even to get to town I had to do a 20-minute walk in the mountains and then a 45-minute drive down to Kingston. So
oh, wow.
It was like I had to. It was literally like you're by yourself, sis. But it was a great property where there's a waterfall down there and there's several waterfalls. And it was very rural, as they call it, the bush. but I just really just meditated and wrote and read, and I did read that first month, but it couldn't be business stuff. So I read like Deepak Chopra. I read As a Man Thinketh. I read a few books, but those are the two that were really pivotal for me. But that's how that went. And I've even talking to people, I told my family like, no talking. I would call maybe like once a week just to say, hey, I'm alive. Not even call, just text. I'm alive. And then that was it. But that second month, and actually in that first month, I hiked. I hiked 6 hours to the top of the highest mountain in Jamaica, which was insane. I was like, why would I do that? But it was great. It really showed me that you can just push yourself to do anything. But that first month was, hey, don't do anything, sis. And the second month was easily start doing some stuff. And in that time, that's when I started talking to a friend that I knew, and he wanted me to be his artist manager. And this is after, like, I was creating things in Asana and creating, like, artist rollout roadmaps and all these types of things. And I would just show him these things, like, oh, yeah, look what I created. And he's like, yo, I need this. You're going to be my manager. So that's pretty much how it started. And I kind of just fell into artist management. And right when I got back, the day I got back, 2 days later, I was hired. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to do this until whatever. So that was that. So I wish I had a better story of, like, yeah, I buckled down. But my whole point of in going there was sit with yourself, sis. Write, read, and try to make sense of my place in this world and what I want out of, not even what I want out of life, but what is life.
Yeah, I think that you touched on a lot of important points. One being the importance of listening to your body, right? Because we will literally force ourselves to go down a path that we know is not right in our gut. And I felt like those pivotal defining moments where it's like, okay, I'm going to ignore my gut and I'm going to continue to do what I feel like the norm is, what society says to do, to continue to work this job, or I'm going to actually take time for myself, become more self-aware, and figure out what is it that I actually feel like I'm called to do in this moment. And it just goes back to the point where sometimes when we're even switching jobs, we don't even take time between those jobs to, like, realign. So the fact that you took 2 months and you took that first month for yourself intentionally and entirely is so important, because we try to shift gears so quickly that we can't even keep up and our body can't keep up with those shifts.
Yeah. And the thing about, I'm so glad you mentioned, like, shifting gears. The thing about it is when you shift gears too quickly, you don't even recognize that the parts of yourself that you're still carrying with you into the new thing. So oftentimes we think that it's going to be that, oh, we just need a change of environment. But it's like, no, you need to actually change. And that lesson has actually been something I've had to learn and relearn, because even though I left for those 2 months, it would have been perfect if it's like, I left for 2 months and my life is amazing. But what I ended up finding was that for me, yes, I was not in a toxic, like, startup type of environment, but my entrepreneurship turned into that, because I hadn't changed. I just thought, let me just change the environment. But I was like, oh, it's me. And this wasn't until this happened several times, because I would think, like, oh, it's this client. Like, I can't work with this client. They kind of overwhelm me or this or that. But the thought but the actual thing was, no, it's how I actually work, how I'm approaching things. It's not just and I say this to my clients, where we often think that so I say, like, burnout is a two-way street. We often think it's on the other person or that job, like, that job sucked and they burned me out. But it's a two-way street in that, yes, employers need to be more mindful and actually more considerate in how they actually operate. But also, as an employee, you need to be, any type of worker, we were never taught how to labor mindfully. We weren't taught how to self-advocate, especially for Black people and people of color. When it comes to employment, we often look at employment as, like, to be indebted, that we were employed. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so, like, I'm just glad I'm employed. And it's just like, yes, but also the feelings and the way that we can position ourselves if you have that type of intention with it. It's so subtle. It's a sense of, in one of my favorite books called Power Versus Force, they have, like, this chart of the differences between, there's a slight difference between being indebted and being grateful. Gratitude is thank you. Indebted is, oh, Thank you. It's a, you see how it's the lowering? There's a power. It's like there's a sturdiness and gratitude. You don't have to fall over yourself for it. But I think a lot of us are positioned to feel indebted. But to bring this back to the point of employee and employer relationships or just working in general, how do we go about work in the sense of advocating for the self and not just thinking that, oh, they should know better? But it's like, no, sometimes you got to set the boundary. They don't always know things. So that's one more lesson that I had to learn. And it's universal across corporate and entrepreneurship. And I'm sure you can probably speak to that as you are an entrepreneur yourself. Like, oh, snap. It's just, I'm not just indebted to the client because they're here, like, or anything like that. I'm grateful for them. And I'm going to still operate in a way where I am in my power and with boundaries and things like that and not feel like to be like run over. But I know that's a whole conversation in itself. So we can get into it if you want.
It really is. And it takes so much for you to get to that point, because I know in the beginning of my entrepreneurship journey, I was onboarding clients and I was just like, okay, like I need these clients because I need to make rent. I'm just thinking monetarily about how I absolutely need this to work out for me. Not thinking that, you know, on the flip side of that, the client is grateful for me and the services that I'm providing too. It's just like, okay, I'm thinking about it from the perspective of, oh, great, I got this client. I'm so thankful. I'm so like giddy about it. But from the standpoint of literally trying to survive because my back is against the wall and I literally am quit my job to do this. But as I have kind of like matured in my journey, I've learned how to set those boundaries and to follow my gut feeling. And every client isn't a good client or a good fit, vice versa. So I think like being self-aware and being truthful with yourself too, because I have broken systems. Like I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure out what is the flow. And I'm like, okay, I'm feeling burnt out, but that's because my systems are burnt or are not put together. I have no structure. So of course,
look
somewhere, and when it breaks out. So it's just a lot that we can like dive into, but like for new entrepreneurs who are kind of struggling with putting some systems and processes into place to get them to be able to be more efficient and flow better, what are some ways that they can start? Because it's just a lot.
Yeah, it really is. And you hit the nail on the head where it's like, you, like, if you don't, what's the James Clear quote? You don't rise to the level of your expectations or your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. It's all about like, hey, what is that foundation that's holding you up? And this is something, again, we're talking my language, because one of my main, the reasons why I just love systems is because they afford you to be able to not be burned out, to go and journey through life in a very comfortable, not just comfortable, but just a well way. Like one of my taglines is like, journey well. And that's my perspective on systems isn't to create something that's just super perfect or looks this certain type of way, but it's like, no, how does this feel? And I always, one of my programs is System of You. And it's like, I, as an artist manager, my first lesson was, I was like, oh, well, the calendar needs to look like this. And this is where you put the tasks and this is where you do this. And I was so sure that we were going to fail if this person didn't do this thing. And I was just like, if you had just done this, it would have happened. But you know what I learned? Things still happen, even if it wasn't done my way, even if it wasn't done perfectly. And that just hit me on the head like, oh, everybody's different. No, duh. But everybody's different. But from the sense of everybody has their own way of doing things. And so when I went about how do I design systems for people, I design it from a System of You perspective. It's like for you, for this person, I can't just put a filter over somebody and put these are Miranda's systems and everybody works well with them. But it's like, no, how do you take in consideration people's actual nature? How do you take in consideration their nature? How do you take into consideration their vision and what's the actual function and what moves the needle in their business? And then how can we bring those together with, like, I like using tools like Enneagram. I love human design. What are these things about this person? How do they make decisions? How do they like to work on things? And I use those as kind of the main, the context within which I can actually build something. And so what I would say for new entrepreneurs, you said it before, self-awareness. So the main thing I would say is, like, one, how do you like to work? When you, I start off with a new client as I make them do a, track their productivity, like what they did throughout the day, just so I can see what the flow is of their day. And just what are the different things, like, what do you work on most? Where do you spend most of your time? Because then that lets me know, like, oh, okay, this might be the area of your life we want to prioritize most because you're doing mostly this. When it comes to creators, particularly social media, content creation, that's the first system we need to do. But oftentimes a lot of people are like, oh, I need to get my tasks right, or I need to get my sales thing right. And I'm just like, yeah. But for a creator, yes, like, there's this phrase in our, like, systems community where it's like, you want to start closest to the money. That's the thing you want to fix first. What's closest to the money? In the business sense, that's usually your marketing and your sales area. Yeah. But for a creator, their actual currency is followers. That's their currency. Their attention is their currency. So it's like, how do we keep, if we're going to fix something, we got to fix the main thing, because we want to fix that so that's still humming along. Then we move on to the next thing that needs to be humming along. So I would, I guess the first thing to answer your question, what would I advise new business people or creators to work on first? It's to, one, track kind of what do you do throughout the day, where are you spending most of your time, and then two, it's most likely going to be the content creation area, but write down, like, oh, okay, this is taking me this amount of time. And then you can kind of figure out, like, okay, well, what would I rather be doing? Not just rather would be doing, but, like, do you want it to take that long? If you're, if it's not broke, you don't got to fix it. As they say, if not broke, don't fix it. But it's like, you want to figure out what's the points that are making you, like, you're just so frustrated by, and that's where you want to look at. So it's a combination of, what are you frustrated by, but also where are you spending your most time? Because a lot of people, you might get frustrated by the small things, but they aren't actually helping move the needle. So we wouldn't focus on that first. We want to first focus on what gets you moving towards your vision. So I know that's complex, but that's the fun part.
Yeah, but it's important, and it being customizable is super important, because even for myself, like, trying to find systems for myself to just, like, not even stay motivated throughout the day, because motivation comes and goes, but to stay consistent and disciplined and finding a system that works has been a struggle, because I'm a creator, but also I'm an entrepreneur and I have two businesses, and it's like so many different things that I'm still trying to figure out how to marry. But then you get on Instagram, you get on TikTok, and you're seeing these routines and systems that work well for these creators or these entrepreneurs, and you're trying to apply it to yourself, and it's just not working. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just about being aware that, okay, that's not going to work for you, and it's not going to work just for you, and that's amazing that does that.
Yeah. And the thing about, like, looking at stuff on TikTok and all that, you can easily go into shiny object syndrome, where you see something, you're like, oh my gosh, I need that, I need this. And actually, just to clarify, when we're even talking about systems, a lot of people think that when I say the word systems, or anybody say systems, I'm talking about an Asana or something. And a lot of people, they use systems and tools interchangeably. And I want to clarify that a system is not a tool. A system is made up of tools, people, and process. A tool is a part of a system. People are a part of a system, aka you as an entrepreneur, you are a part of your particular system. But with the system, it's how do we get something done? And I don't want to be too technical, but when you're thinking about, you want something to get done, what are the things that need to come together to make it happen. Usually in the business sense, it's process, people, and tools. And I actually recommend the first thing, not even recommend, the first thing you start with is process. That's the basis of everything. Everybody wants automation. They want the fancy this, fancy that. But it's like, no, you first had to figure out what's the basic nuts and bolts of the process? Because that's essentially what you want to optimize first before you even add in a tool, before you add more people. And this can get into your hiring practices. A lot of people I come into, they want to hire an assistant, but then all you're doing is transitioning that fire and that dumpster mess that you have to another person, but now you're paying for that. So now you're paying so much time to do stuff and kind of wasting money when you could first optimize that process, then outsource it so that it's not taking up as much, like there's no wasted time in that. But yeah, just think about systems as process, people, and then tools. Because then you'll see like, oh, first optimize my process, then optimize me. How do I become more productive? Then how do I get a tool to further maximize or amplify what I'm trying to do?
Yes, I can agree with that because there have been times where I've hired someone on my team and I'm just like, wait, I don't fully understand what I need you to do yet. Because this is so like, broken. The systems are broken. Like, I'm not really sure where things input, output, anything.
Yeah.
I would say when I was in corporate, I worked at this organization. And the one thing that blew my mind was that they had these standard operating procedures for everything in the business. I mean, there were folders and folders of how to do even the littlest thing. Just because, you know, sometimes teams change and you want to be able to pass it over to the person and say, hey, this is the procedure for how to do this. So I feel like once I kind of like learned that, I was like, okay, I understand that this needs to be implemented in my business, but you know, sometimes starting is the hardest part.
Yeah, and I know, especially like as creators or creatives, it's like nobody wants to do SOPs. I love them. Like, I love SOPs. But one thing I had to learn, people like me, but here's the thing. This is another thing I learned, Brittany. So I create SOPs for people and stuff. But one thing I noticed, I guess this is just universal, but like I would create them, but nobody would use them. And the thing that got to me was, oh, it's not just about creating the SOP. It's you have to then think about, what is the team's relationship to the SOP? How do they interact with these documents such that the rules that we set out, the process that we set out is actually being done? And that's when it took a whole nother level of being able to be like, oh, well, we have to think about user experience of an employee, user experience of the CEO. And so I would recommend that anybody who's listening to this, when you're writing your SOPs, don't do it for the sake of writing SOPs. Because you will waste so much time doing that, so much time doing it for like, hey, they told me I should do this. No, you only want to do so much as what do you actually need that'll help, like that will actually help your business as far as this is what I want someone to do. And you want to think about, well, I remember for a client, I wrote out this huge playbook and it was like 7 pages long. And I looked at it, I was like, nobody's going to read this. Everything in here is pertinent information, but they are not going to read this. So then that's when I was like, oh, even for my company, how we deliver systems. So it's called System Supreme. And our 3-part framework is design, make, integrate. Mm-hmm. What ends up happening when it comes to when people create systems. And again, remember, system is tool, people, process. So let's say, for example, a content creation process. Somebody says, hey, I want to optimize my content creation system. It's like, okay, cool. When they come into our company, at first, you just make the tool like, oh, okay, we're gonna figure out what your process is for making content, and we're gonna set up the tech tool that you need, and here you go, have fun. Mm-hmm. But that's not the thing. I noticed that when you're doing system designs, first you have to be intentional about the design. Are you intentional in how you're customizing it for this person? So the design comes first, and we do that with process mapping. Then we can go ahead and make, because now we have a blueprint that's specifically curated for this person, for this company. Then, like, making is the easy part. Super duper easy. Like, cool, let's make some stuff. On the latter end, it's integration. How do you integrate the system into the company's culture now? That's the part where I'm sure maybe a lot of people got the new shiny tool, or maybe they wrote out their process and got the tool and was like, cool. But what they didn't do is have proper training for themselves or for their team. So yes, you do have the thing, but now it's even hard to figure out how it works. And now it feels disjointed when you go back into your business. And so the last thing that we do, which is the major part, is, hey, in that integration period, how do we make sure that the processes or SOPs that we wrote out are actually going to be interacted with? And then how do we train people on this such that this is now knowledge that is with the company and they can just go ahead and now they have proper knowledge management of the things and it can grow with them. So it's a big situation and thing that happens. And I think the difference in how I approach things is from an intuitive sense. It's a human, like pretty much a human first type of approach to system design and making things such that, hey, it don't have to be like too whatever, but it's like, are you actually using this? Is it moving you forward? And as such, you have to make sure to go through those steps to integrate everything.
Yeah, I mean, with so many tools out there, what would you say are some of your favorite tools to use with your client?
Ah, yes. So my favorite tools, and again, it's based on my personality. So even though I'm saying this, if you are someone who, my brother, he asked me to make a system for him once, and he was like, but don't go all SpongeBob on me. I was like, that is me. I am SpongeBob. Like, you know how SpongeBob is just so, he got the right spatula, but everybody's not SpongeBob. They might be Squidward or Mr. Krabs. It's like, yo, bro, I just want to make the money. I don't need all that. So to answer this question, my favorite tool, at this moment. So as far as project management for knowledge management and project management as a solo person, love Notion, because you can just build whatever in there. And I'd say, like, Notion is becoming everybody's favorite, but it's definitely, it can also be confusing, because it's something where if you aren't really a builder of things, it can be difficult. But for builders and people who like to just come up with stuff, Notion, the bomb. Like I said, I love it for knowledge management and just building whatever. You can do tasks, projects, all that. Yeah.
I would say Notion, it took me a while to figure out how to utilize it to fit me. And I ended up just getting on Etsy, and I found a template that works for me.
Love it. Yes. See, find templates. And that's a beautiful thing about these tools. A lot of it is just being able to go find the template that works for you. Like you mentioned it before, it's the customization part. So I love Notion for that. If I had to do another program, I like Asana and I like ClickUp. ClickUp is great for agencies and people who need a lot of details or are handling a lot of volume of clients. Really good. Asana is also good for that, but I'd say Asana, like, honestly, it just is your preference. ClickUp is if you are super duper detail oriented and you love all those things, but some people, it overwhelms them. Similar with Notion. Sometimes Notion can be overwhelming. But Asana is a good basic one as far as, like, just put some stuff in there. Other tools that I like, Miro. I love Miro because it's where you can make flow charts. You can make mind maps. I pretty much hold all my workshops in Miro because it's just like they call it like an endless whiteboard. And I have a whiteboard of my own. So I'm like, oh, a digital one. Yes, please. So honestly, and also I'm into digital minimalism, so I am not gonna have a bajillion tools. I'm like, what do you absolutely need? And I definitely recommend that to my clients, to anybody. It's like, yo, you don't need every tool, just what exactly do you need? So honestly, my two that I'm rocking with is Notion, or our Notion and Miro, and then trying to think of anything else. Other things that just come to mind are just different add-ons you can add to Chrome that make things easier. But honestly, those are my main two I rock with. I wish I could, I'm sure I could recommend some other stuff, but as far as how I operate, very lean and very DIY-ish, those are my main two that I like. And Asana and ClickUp, just because I don't even use them. I like building with them. So when clients say, hey, I want to build an Asana thing or ClickUp, I'm like, yay. Another thing I like to build with is Dubsado is cool too. But yeah, so those are my main ones that I like. And so G Suite.
Yes, yes. So what would you say is the most rewarding part about what you do?
Most rewarding? Man, the most rewarding part for me is when, so harmony is like a big thing that that's like my North Star, harmony. And I'm just like, how can we create harmony between life and business? And not only just that, I just feel that because I guess in this capitalist society, money is like the thing that is a driver for most people. And it's like, it's what sustains a lot. But I've noticed that it can also be a driver for things not going so well in our society, such as like environmental degradation and things like that. And so oftentimes I think like if there was just more harmony within how businesses operate it internally, and also and internally includes with their teams, but not just with their customers, because a lot of people are customer centric, which is great. But sometimes, not even sometimes, a lot of the time, being so customer forward can have some ripple effects, aka Amazon, where you're just like, ooh, there's a lot happening here, and a lot of environmental things you can be impacting, a lot of economic and social things that are being impacted. Because it's like, yes, they have a great product, great customer service, but if we were to say to go inside of their actual operations for like warehouse workers, I'm not so sure if I could say this is amazing. And I mentioned that because things like that ripple out into people's lives, because how you even pay people affects how people can live, affects just so many other things, as well as like environmental stuff, and do they just all the material is just like, oh my gosh. But I say that to say that like what brings me joy is that is because I feel like what I do helps people I don't know, like peace of mind. Because I know that entrepreneurship can be difficult, but I feel like if people can just not be horrible in their business and in the work area, because it's so just work touches everybody. I'm just like, if we can make work better and also help people work mindfully, because again, it's not just about how does your internal systems operate, but people are a main part of that. And my thing is like, how I feel like when you toss your hat in the ring for doing a business, you've signed up to shift the trajectory of society as far as culture. How many people do we know, or parents or ourselves, where you work somewhere and the fact that you did not like it really affected it affects your livelihood. It affects how you go about the world. And so my main thing is, how do I help? How can I be the little drop in the bucket that helps organizations operate more mindfully, such that they are not doing things to the detriment of other people or to culture or to society. So it's a very systemic type way of looking at things, but it might seem intense to others, but it's like, it really, really matters. It's like how you operate and do things really affects other people. So that what brings me joy is knowing that like, hey, this will affect, if I can help someone's business operate smoothly such that they are not harming other people or the environment, and are contributing positively to our culture, and they can, and because I've helped them, they can do it for a long time. I'm like, cool, we've done good for our little part here.
Yeah, because the goal is to hopefully create a business that's sustainable and has longevity, and the only way you can really do that is if you have a solid foundation. And I think
exactly
to bring that to brands and creators, just to make sure that you're able to continue to grow your brand.
Yep. And sustainable in the good direction, because that's the thing. Because a lot of brands are sustainable, but do they positively impact just others and other, like, what does it look like in the larger scope of things? Not just, I feel like we praise a lot of, again, that's what you're supposed to. You're supposed to praise a lot of the monetary gain, because it's business. The whole point is to make capital and to make money. But my thing is like, how do we not ruin the world in the process? And not feel like we, again, not to the detriment of others. So
no, 1,000%. So you talked about your program and consulting. How does a brand or a founder work with you?
So people can work with me, and I'm kind of on like a work sabbatical from my business. But I guess you guys can hear it first, where I am taking on some clients. I can be pretty choosy because, again, I have like the social impact tilt where I'm like, hey, are you doing good things for the world? Yes. We can work. So that's the first thing. Are you positively impacting society? Cool. Even if you aren't at this moment and want to turn that leaf, we can definitely work. Mm-hmm. But how people interact with me is by going to my website. So Mojo Supreme Co. Mojo Supreme means your magic to the highest power. Our whole thing is that everybody has something magical about them, or something you're trying to put out in the world. But it's just like you need something, not even that you need something. In order to do that to the highest level, you need a great foundation and things to support you. So that's essentially what we do. And we do it through intentional systems design and integration for businesses. So just hit us up, mojosupreme.co. Fill out the link and we can talk. And if you are that magical somebody, what's that one song? If you that somebody, hit us up. But yeah, no, we do, as far as services that we offer. Mm-hmm. So we do we do system builds. We do workspace builds, such that, say, if you want like a personal HQ mm-hmm. in Notion, or if you want it in any like an Asana or a Coda, we can build that for you such that you have that. Or we can do content creation system, a sales system, a marketing system, like you name it. It'll be all on the form. Also, if you need help writing documentation, we have that service too, where we help people create company manuals. We do a lot. Company manuals, just SOPs, things like that. Just hit us up. And we can talk, it'll be some good stuff.
Well, I want to let you know that I will definitely be hitting you up because it sounds like what I need. So I'm excited that we're having this conversation. But any newness coming down the pipeline we should know about?
Newness, I guess rolling out some new offerings, which are so we really only service people in like three ways, which are we have Tiny Tweak workshops, which our main thing is Tiny Tweaks and System Supreme, as well as winning workspace. So those are our three main programs. I'm going to slowly roll those out. But again, y'all get to hear it first. But even with the names, you can see that the whole vibe is, how do we take an iterative, comprehensive, and holistic approach to building systems so that we have long-lasting businesses?
Yes.
that make a positive impact, of course.
Exactly. Now, that's key. This was such an informative conversation, and I definitely learned a lot, and I'm reminded how important it is to not only focus on the front end of your business, like the marketing and social media and making things look nice, but the back end, just to make sure everything has structure, especially as you're growing your team. So thank you for dropping these gems today.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. And where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram. My company's is mojosupreme.co. So mojosupreme.co. And then my personal is mojo.supreme. Also, fun fact, my DJ name is Mojo Supreme. And the original, yeah, no, the original meaning was when I was starting DJ, and I was like, okay, I was like, this is me, but to me, to the highest power. And ever since doing that and exploring these different realms, I'm like, oh wait, Mojo Supreme isn't just me. It's something that I embody and that everybody has. Like, everybody has that mojo. And it's like, how do we take it? How do we take it up a notch and essentially do self-actualization?
Yes. No, I love it. I love the meaning behind that. Miranda, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much. And I'm just super excited for everybody to receive these gems and hopefully implement it into their business.
Yeah, awesome. I love it. Thank you.
If you're not already, be sure to follow us over on Instagram at Currently Bossing and The Boss Up Inc. If you love our podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Your rating helps us to reach other bosses like you who are ready to level up and reach their truest potential. Tune in every Monday for our newest podcast episodes. We'll talk to you then. Bye.